started, we're doing the Chazonish, and the Chazonish had explained in the previous section the idea of Tzadik Chasid Chacham, that the Torah and Chazal use these terms to describe someone who lives up to these high standards, someone who has perfected their traits. So now we are presented with the question, what are the laws of a Talmid Chacham? And what does that name demand of him? If he has that title, so then what does that demand of him? What is the essence of a Talmid Chacham? And in what does he have a great strength? Let's define a little bit. What is this Talmid Chacham? In Evdurim Ktzarim, Hiskir Ramaz Ali Hoedah Siman Ramak Seif Bet. In short words, the Rama, with great brilliance, summarizes in Siman Reish Mem Gimel, the laws of Torah, in the second paragraph, Latzig Et Munato Amira B'Karnei Hoedah. The Rama presents a picture that shines and illuminates in its glory. The Zelesh Anosham. This is how the Rama over there describes what is a Talmid Chacham. Number one, says the Rama, Sheyodea Lisa Veliten Batorah. He knows how to learn Torah. He knows how to talk in Torah. Umevin midaato berov mikomot haTalmud uferushav ubepiskei haGaonim. And he has the understanding that he can open up the Shas in different places, and the commentaries, and the rulings of the Gaonim, and understand. He could learn and understand. So the Rama is explaining to us what is a Talmid Chacham. He knows how to talk in Torah. He knows how to talk the logic of Torah back and forth. He knows how to learn. So we see that the term Talmid Chacham is someone who's very smart in halacha. He knows the depths of dealing in Torah. It's not just what did it say? An art scroll says this and the commentary says that. He can understand the logic and the system that we have on tradition for generations. And he's learned most of Talmud. And if he's not smart in this area that he knows Shas and the halachic authorities and the logic, the system of ruling in halacha, even though he knows how to quote a lot of midrashim, and he's a great orator, and he's learned all kinds of books of Musar, anyone who cannot deal in halacha in most places in Shas, based on the halacha, he doesn't get the title, Talmid Chacham. It's that simple. He could impress everyone with his Kabbalistic knowledge. He knows Zohar backwards and forwards. He's not a Talmid Chacham. In order to be Talmid Chacham, the Rama says he has to know Shas. It has to be that you can talk to him in halacha in all areas or most areas of Shas, and he could talk. And even though we have a rule that a Talmid Chacham gets certain leniencies in paying taxes, doesn't matter. If a person learns Torah all day, but he doesn't know halacha throughout the Shas, he doesn't know, and you can't just open up a Gemara and tell him, okay, teach us, so then he's not a Talmud Chacham. He doesn't get those leniencies. But he knows the Zohar by heart, so. But he knows the Mesilat Yesharim by heart, so. But he's written books on ethics, so. That does not make him a Talmid Chacham. Talmid Chacham says the Chazon Ish is one definition. When does King Solomon get the term Chacham? He says many allegories, but it's when he makes halachic institutions. He makes the institution of Erevin. He makes the institution of washing one's hands. So the Talmud says that's when a heavenly voice came out and said, Chacham b'ni v'samach libi v'ashivacho refi davar. Oh, my son is smart. When does he get the title Chacham from heaven? When he can do that. When he can make halachic institutions. Because rabbinic institutions really stem from the wisdom of Torah. It's not that the rabbi sat back and said, what institution should we make today? Doesn't work that way. You delve into the Torah, you understand the Torah, you look at the world from the perspective of the Torah, and then you understand what institutions the Torah wants you to make. So Shlomo, from his vast knowledge of Torah, was able to understand that he should institute Erevin and Etilat Yadayim. The concept I'm saying now is the Maharal in Be'er HaGula. It's not Netan El Frankenthal. I'm quoting something which the Maharal illustrates. Yes? So it seems that many concepts that were instituted by the rabbis began as levels of piety, where the pious did this, and then later on the rabbis instituted it for everyone. It started spreading and people did it, like wearing a yarmulke, wearing a kippah. Began as, in the days of the Talmud, the pious did it, not washing on the 9 days. Okay, we're coming up to the 9 days. So historically, if you go back a millennium and a half, it was the pious that were careful not to wash themselves all 9 days. And the average person only was careful the week of Tisha B'Av, or doing laundry. The average person was careful the week of Tisha B'Av. It was the extra pious who would take on this act of mourning all 9 days, or not eating meat. And then, slowly but surely, more and more people said, hey, we want to do that too. This is something we can do, we can connect to. And slowly it became accepted by the masses, to the point where it became the custom of the masses, to the point where now the Rama writes, this is our custom, the Ashkenazim, don't eat meat 9 days. We don't do laundry. We don't rinse ourselves for pleasure during the 9 days. But many things started off as something that the pious did, and slowly more and more people said, hey, I want to do this too. And it became a custom, and then sometimes the rabbis instituted it and it became rabbinic, and sometimes it remained the custom. It's a, yes?
So my follow-up question to that is, if it's supposed to be pious, that's where it started with, that's where it was originally meant to stay with. Just like staying up all night Shavuos and learning. So there are things that afterwards, you're saying the people decided, hey, we want to be part of this too. But they were putting putting a lot on people who aren't really supposed to be doing it just because they feel like, hey, we want to be part of it.
No, so it's not exactly that way. Sometimes the rabbis understood that the Torah gave us a concept as a positive concept and said, it's up to you to decide which generation is ready to accept this. I'm not going to obligate it, but it's a good idea. Netilat Yadayim is alluded to in the Torah. The Torah speaks about hands being different than the rest of the body and the hands being defiled when the rest of the body is pure. But the Torah doesn't obligate it. And so the pious were always careful to keep their hands clean. And then as generations passed, when Solomon saw that we had settled the land and things were good, so Solomon said, okay, at least for eating truma, when the people eat holy foods, they should be careful to rinse their hands should be clean. Later on, half a millennium later, the rabbis instituted Netilat Yadayim in general for food and bread, etc. It took till the destruction of the second temple. Remember, King Solomon's the beginning of the first temple? It took till the destruction of the second temple for the rabbis to decide we should institute Netilat Yadayim in mass for every bread and food that people eat. So Netilat Yadayim evolved. In Shlomo's time, he instituted it for holy foods, when you eat a sacrifice, when you eat kodshim. And it evolved. The rabbis, according to what the generation was ready for, they developed it. It's not just because the people said, hey, we want to do this. Part of it is also the rabbis saw the generation was ripe for it.
So you're saying the generation, even though it's getting further away from Har Sinai, from being pious, you're saying these generations are actually increasing?
In certain things. There are things which certain generations can handle that other generations could not. You see, sometimes certain generations need it. Meaning, if the first temple period people were praying of their own without the rabbis telling them, this is your prayer 3 times a day, second temple, maybe because the generation went lower, they needed the rabbis to tell them, you get up in the morning, you make this blessing. You say Shacharis, you daven this way, that way, etc. A rabbinic institution is not necessarily a reflection of an advancement. It could also be that the earlier generations didn't need the rabbis to tell them. Sometimes the generation was fit. It, It doesn't tell us why the generation of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were ready for it. But I suspect, now this is a wild suggestion I'm about to say, but maybe there's truth to it. This is just Nathanael Frankenthal's thoughts, little me. I have no source for it. But I wonder, I'm just a thought, if maybe the fact that there were so many Greeks in Israel and there were so many people who were being Hellenized and there was such a worship of cleanliness and aesthetics that maybe that's why the people were then willing to accept it, because it says 100 years earlier the rabbis tried to institute washing hands and the people wouldn't listen. So maybe the period of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, where they were able to institute it, and many of their institutions reflected a grappling with the Greek culture, so then maybe that was also part of the institution of washing hands, why that generation was willing to listen when earlier generations were asked to adhere to this institution, and they said, no, we're not doing it. I'm saying it could be that that's why Netilat Yadayim. Just again, this is me talking this. I don't have a source for it. I just wonder if maybe that's part of it. But coming back to the Chazon Ish. Now he quotes the Talmud. When King Solomon instituted the rabbinic institution of making an Erev and washing hands before eating different food items, Yatztabat Kol, a heavenly voice came out and said, Benim Chacham Nibecha Yismach Libi Gamani, my son, if your heart has been wise, so my heart will be happy as well. And the Talmud says in Tractate Avodah Zarah, Arevim Alai Divrei Dodecha, the words of your beloved, the words of the teachers are pleasant for me, yotel mi'eina shel Torah, more so than the wine, the essence of Torah. V'hainu shosifu chachamim gzerot v'emidu advarim bilchot merubot, dakei ayun v'omek tevunot, v'knest Yisrael mitperot ben shen arevin aleha. And that is that the rabbis made their institutions, and when they made their institutions, those institutions stemmed from a depth of understanding. And that's what the people of Israel say in the Song of Songs, Ki tovim dodecha miyayin, your love is more cherished than wine. And our sages say that that's the people of Israel talking about the rabbinic institutions. The rabbinic institutions that stem from an understanding of the people. And again, that might be part of the idea why Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel instituted washing hands. But that's the idea, coming back to what Chazon Ish is stressing, that Talmid Chacham, the term Chacham, is saved for someone who knows Halakha. It's not just about ethics. Again, hammering home the concept that Emunah and Bitachon are an applied science. It's not theoretical. It's not just about being a nice guy. It's about knowing to apply the Torah by knowing the Halakha and the rabbinic institutions, etc.